Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is Paulette Young, your host, and we have another hot topic for you. We're going to talk about, there's so much talk of what caused autism. So some of the research recently has been when a mom is pregnant, either if she has hypertension already or she has blood pressure problems because of the pregnancy, or she becomes what they call gestational diabetic, or they develop diabetes during the pregnancy, they're linking that to autism, that it can interfere with brain function. And that normally autism untreated is not good. A lot of times they lack social skills, different developmental stages are slow. Anyway, the causes of autism, they really haven't pinpointed everything yet. Remember when they used to say the vaccines? Then they took the mercury out of the vaccines, and then some were saying that it wasn't the vaccines, because there were mothers and fathers that took their kids to have their vaccines, and right afterwards there was a brain function change, even though there's still a lot of talk in that area. But so now they're looking at other things, like the mother, the shape that she's in prior to during her pregnancy or prior even to her pregnancy. They know that sometimes some of this brain function runs in family, that it can be a history of having, you know, children that are autistic. Still a lot of study going on. So tonight we're going to talk about some of that, and we're going to be joined by our guest, Selena Lindsay. Hi, Selena. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Oh, good. Tell the audience who you are.
Good evening. I'm Selena Lindsay, and I am a former CPA for over 30 years. Currently, what I do is basically try to intermerge a nonprofit entity with a for-profit entity for the purpose of providing jobs and making changes within the community. In addition to that, I sit on a number of different boards, and all of that is basically for the same reason, to be able to try to help people help themselves. And a little bit of more about that I'll tell you at the end of the show.
Okay. When I'm pregnant, you're diabetic and hypertension, there's been a lot of research, and it's still being researched, but it's showing that there is a link to these kids, because we're talking about the brain is developing within the womb. And so if you have high blood pressure, how is that affecting the baby? If you have a problem with either diabetic 1 or diabetes 2, main things, you have a problem with sugar going into the womb. So when these condition exists, they found that there is a problem. Some of the kids have, diabetes. And some of it, I think it was Kaiser did a long study. They had all the numbers, and they don't look too good. Oh, I have to say, what do you want to say about that?
Well, number one, is always interesting how they hide known facts that they've known for a long time. They've known for a very long time, significantly, the blood pressure and diabetes. And for them to keep hitting facts, just as, for instance, an example, when you now see an alcoholic beverage that says it's not too good for women to consume it if you're pregnant. So I think we've been seeing that printed onto a can of any alcoholic beverage for quite some time. And so to me, they've known about these instances for a very long time. But now it's becoming public knowledge that there are significant changes, especially when a woman is pregnant or has diabetes or has high blood pressure, and more so, I think, in terms of genetics. Because as you look at some of the other studies, but now what they know about genetics, and there's basically also, too, not really an instance of where they wanted us to believe that, genetically speaking, it could be hereditary that you're subject to have high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes. And they're finding more of the fact that it's more related to diet and not so much, but also to ethnicity, because seemingly there are more people of certain races that are more affected than opposed to other races. For instance, you don't really see a lot of diabetes among the Chinese or the Japanese.
Like Latinos and African Americans. And then they also said boys are more likely to have it than girls, at least 5 times more likely to have autism. Now, that part I don't know why, but that's what the studies are showing. And they're also.
And sometimes, too, I'm a believer that in terms of autism, they've got a lot more to do because half of the folks they call autistic are geniuses. So on the other side of the scale, you'll get a so-called autistic person basically unfunctional. So there's two ends of the scale.
Well, they tend not to have proper social skills.
And they do tend to, on the genius level, understand numbers and music. And so they need a lot of work in that area. And they need a lot of work, in my opinion, because when I was a kid, who was autistic? And right about now, everybody's got an autistic child. I mean, it's almost as they say, he's been thinking about running to school with a pencil. He's autistic.
But is that because of better recognition of what you're dealing with, where back in the day, no one really recognized it?
Well, I think one of the recognitions is, again, Big Pharma, because Big Pharma wants to deal out pills. And some of the biggest pills they like to deal out is with these situations is the same thing when they say that your child has a tendency that, you know, his mind is racing like 90 going north. So let's give him some Ritalin.
Yeah, but I can I can see there being a link between if the mother has diabetes, especially if she's not going to keep it under control or it's hard to control, even though she does the right thing, to having high blood pressure, because we're talking about brain development. If the brain is developing in a bad environment, how good is that going to be, period? And we're talking about, from a physical standpoint, sugar getting into the cells for energy. Normally you have insulin that is supposed to be a certain amount, and then that allows the sugar to put the sugar into the cells. So if that's not happening the way it's supposed to, then yeah, I can see it being a problem. And I think mothers in the old days would tell you can eat as much as you want, whatever you want. That's not so. They'd rather you have a healthy diet. They don't want you to overdo it, but try to keep it balanced, because that does affect the brain. But then I guess the other question one would ask, why is it for some it affects the brain but not everyone? So, those are things we can't answer. So
yeah, I think
it's been a problem all along, and it just no one looked at that part. Now, you remember when they said that the vaccines were shooting them up and giving them too many vaccines, and they have proof that these kids' behavior changed. But now there was different reports disputing all that. But you can't change a mother's mind who just had a child shot out with a bunch of vaccines, and the child's behavior is different and permanently different. It'll be hard to tell that mother wasn't the vaccines. But the one thing I know they did do, they took out the thimerosal, which is a preservative with mercury in it. They did take that out of the kids' vaccines. And even if a mother got the flu shot, took a shot that didn't have the thimerosal in it, which is a known preservative with mercury in it. So those changes were made. And then to say that, oh, well, it wasn't the vaccine, why did they take the chemicals, some of the chemicals out, trying to pinpoint, you know, where the problem is? Why would they give you mercury anyway and have that, you know, anybody take that pregnant? It's crazy. We already know what mercury does. That's why, and, you know, they tell mothers not to drink so much, eat so much fish or eat fish, period, because of the mercury in the water in different areas. So I believe the vaccine might have had some, but this other new research, no one looked at it before. But with a total increase, and it's on the rise. It hasn't gone down. It's increasing. So something's wrong. Something's causing it to, you know, either stay the same or increase. So they have to keep, you know, it's not over yet anyway.
No, not by a long shot. And there are a number of different, as they say, cracks in the pavement that need some serious looking at in terms of what they're reporting. And as you well know, sometimes when you read these reports, you have to really carefully watch what they're talking about, because they'll say that in their studies there's only 300 people that they're examining, and, 100 had this and 200 had that. And when you take those numbers and you compare them to statistically how many women that get pregnant in America, and they're also talking ethnicity, there's some serious issues with those numbers, because how can you only do sampling from less than 1% of America and then make such a broad statement? They do better in statements that they make about dogs than they do in relationship to human beings and studies.
And if you have twins, you double the risk. Not necessarily that both twins will be autistic, but you do stand a chance of one of them. They said it's double. And if we look at the whole United States, the ones that are at risk is your Latinos, African Americans, Native American women. They have the highest risk than non-Hispanic whites.
Well, these days,
being
we're talking
overweight.
About birth.
What? Say that again?
Yeah. These days, when you start talking about births, you know, more than 25% of births are not necessarily done in the old traditional ways. You know, this mess is turning into, you know, who is the biological father or mother? Because, you know, they're transferring embryos and all kinds of things, ways that these things are happening. And also they're putting in a multiplication factor, whereas there's nothing anymore for us to pick up the newspaper and find out it's 6 or 7 of them that are born at once, whereas it used to be a rarity. This is a commonality.
Yeah, it is. You can talk to anybody. And they'll say either a relative or a friend, a neighbor, has an autistic child. And then the argument is they're recognizing it. you might have had an autistic child, but there was no recognition that that child had autism. So you add that factor in too.
Absolutely.
And then lack of ability to, even for your doctors, to know that the child has autism. Because it takes a trained person to come up with the facts and ask the right questions and all that. So those are other factors too. But they do know that the minorities are at the highest risk. And sometimes I wonder if minorities are at high risk because of lack of information, lack of education.
Well, lack of information and lack of education. And very often, you know, I'm sure we both have witnessed a mother sitting there playing with a child that's, you know, 3 or 4 months old and the child can't crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still convinced the child is slow, you know, and, you know, these types of behaviors. And I myself, you know, I have grandchildren that one of them in particular, you know, he could not walk. He couldn't do a lot of things that normally a child of a certain age is able to, you know, sit up and hold the head and, you know, and come to find out, you know, we actually had to call special people in, and in order to get him to walk, they had to train him through a little tunnel. You know, they come over and work with him, you know, go through the tunnel, and, you know, they play games with him for 10 or 15 minutes to assist him with his growth, because he has certain things that, you know, he could not do it. And going through a situation, actually trying to grow the mother up because she refused to accept that there's something wrong with this kid.
Right. And see, and the problem too is when they don't get that early intervention, it makes it harder on the child. Because they're able to give them proper therapy where you would never know that child had autism at all. They do a lot of behavior modification and all that, but those are the children that are getting help. There's still a stigma attached to the child with even minor or mild form of autism. The parent doesn't want to say that there's a problem. And as they get older, because they got no help, it shows up loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, one of the major things when you start talking about women, since the technicality is, as you can see by the media, when it comes to, you know, a bad subject matter, being sexually assaulted, abused, or any of these things, we're still running around in the 21st century with these,
mm-hmm.
these kinds of things. And women are having a hard time getting recognition that such things in the industry even exist. So you can only imagine when it comes to children and childbirth and diabetes and autistic and all of these kinds of different things, women are having a hard time as a minority to get any kind of recognition that these kinds of things are going on, because we live in a male-dominated world. And unless it suits you know, literally their pockets, then it's not discussed.
That's true.
You know, the lights are turned out, and they don't want to talk about it. And also, too, we also live in a great place, which is called America. And certain people, no doctor wants to stand out and talk about that we're producing a bunch of knuckleheads in America, you know, and that is something going, and there is, to me, something going on, because in my childhood, we never heard of this mess. You know, now all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's on a runaway like gonorrhea. You know, there's hardly nobody when you go to a PTA meeting that doesn't have an autistic child.
And
you know, and
the,
in fact,
I'm going to talk about,
you know,
some of the things.
They're sitting in their medicine. You know, the women are sitting up talking about, what is your child taking?
Some of the things that, for those that are listening, trying to figure out, you're not diabetic, so how can you end up being diabetic during your pregnancy? what are the risk factors? Who's at risk? Normally, at age after age, it rises, or there can be a problem after age 25. And if you're having twins, minorities are at risk. If you're already overweight, or say you have a family history of diabetes, those are some of the risk factors that can cause what they call gestational diabetes. And what happens is you have hormones from the placenta, and that can interfere with the mother's ability to produce insulin. You have to produce insulin, because without it, you don't have anything to carry the sugar into the cells that's necessary for energy. Because if you don't have the insulin that picks up the sugar and carries it into the cell, then you don't have your energy level will be very low. You'll feel literally non-functional. But they can control it, you know, through your diet and exercise for the most part. And so you can either end up with diabetes type 1 or diabetes type 2. There's two different forms of diabetes. The main thing is you have to get that sugar into the cells. Some of the reports come from Kaiser Permanente in Southern California. They're looking up a lot of the information. They've done a lot of extensive work in that area. So, and most doctors will want you to keep your weight under control, especially if you're already overweight. You're at high risk for something to go wrong. Now, if weight's not a problem, that doesn't take away the being at high risk, because you can still end up being at high risk. Main thing is keep those appointments, see the physicians, and do what they tell you to do, and so that you can have a healthy pregnancy, one free of having blood sugar problems, one free of having the blood pressure out of range. So if you know you're already overweight, that you are at high risk just from that alone. And then you are subject to develop diabetes, and that's a fact. Back in the day, you can do anything. But is that why certain things went wrong?
Yeah. Not necessarily. I honestly think there are a lot of combinations as to why we have some of these significant problems. You know, everything from, again, food, location, air, there's just many, many commonality factors. Even when they talk about, it seems to be minorities, not necessarily so, because when you do have those weight factors, it doesn't matter. it strikes because when you have those weight factors, then you're going to have high blood pressure. And in the medical field, it's what we call the 1-2-3 punch, because everything else follows suit. You rarely run into a person that is going to be extremely obese that does not have high blood pressure. Because number one, they're eating plenty of junk.
That's true.
And with the junk, comes the stuff that clogs up the veins, the arteries, lots of salt. That's what they like eating. Lots of bad things in junk food. along with that, as they say, when the punch comes, because of the junk and the blood pressure, the next punch is usually they begin to have heart problems and heart disease. And once the heart starts to tick out, then you get the embolism and the other stuff, because you know, when the heart speeds up, now you got to breathe. You got breathing problems. And, you know, they can't do a lot of things. And so it just, it's a stack of dominoes. And usually they want to disassociate it with weight, period. They want to tell you every cotton-picking thing is going on with them, except for the fact that they eat too much. And in some ways, things are catching up. Nowadays, when you go to a restaurant, they're doing things in smaller portions. Even the fast food places finally decided, get rid of the big gulp, because one of the things that changed is they now have to print on it how many calories is in that stuff. And, it's coming to the attention of people to pay more attention to what it is they're consuming. And this is what I call, like the guy that walked on the moon, a small step for mankind, because we need more steps, such as the giant step that was taken when they had to print it onto a cigarette, that this is a risk for cancer, because they didn't want to do that either. And so I think the same thing is happening when we're talking about the risks associated with autism, diabetes, heart disease, all of this. There's a risk that is associated with a lot of this, and it's finally starting to come to the forefront that they're going to have to begin to do more and talk about it. You know, they're going to have to do something. And on top of that, as I've said two or three times on the show tonight, that there's just too many people. Everybody is coming up with a child that's supposedly autistic. What is going on? And when children are coming up being diabetics, is one of the things that you, Paulette, talk about, how they were forced to change things at schools and no longer sell sodas and candies and get the candy machine out of there, and to have a more complete diet for them. And if you look at an American elementary school as opposed to one in China or Japan, it's embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing what they feed their kids as opposed to what we feed kids. But we are taking some giant leaps.
Yep.
And it really is seriously about time.
Well,
because we are.
When you have, who's going to take care of these kids? How are they going to be educated? And it's an overload on the system if you don't do something.
Well, they better come up with something quick, because Obamacare ain't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And, all of the different parties, they've been slowly trying to eliminate it. And that's another big problem that they should really seriously look at, is just what you said. Who's going to take care of it? How are they going to educate them? And it's part of the reason that they finally have to do something about those cigarettes, because who's going to take care of them?
Mm-hmm.
You got the 1-2-3 punch, too many things going wrong with them. And very expensive, very, very expensive. Most people don't know that blood pressure pills cost $380 a month. I don't give a heck that they give them to you with your stamps or whatever you're getting them for. They cost a lot of money. Big Pharma's making big bucks. And it's one of the reasons that they are disguising certain kinds of things, because the rich keep getting rich and the poor gets poor. And they're getting worse and worse care information on how to take care of themselves. And there's too much garbage that's still in the supermarket that helps you get there. You know, and it's not just putting a person at risk. It puts entire families, entire generations at risk. You know, and they need to do something. They seriously need to get off their butts, and they need to simply do their jobs. The kind of stuff that CDC does, they're only in charge of one component. But all of those that are supposedly elected by all of us as constituents, right on up the ladder from your congressman to your senator. They simply need to do their job. And us as individuals, we need to become more informed, more educated about what we're eating. Unfortunately, when we were farmers and most of our food came out of our backyard, we didn't have to do this. But in today's market, most food is not real. You know, because when they get finished with what they do to it, it's a whole different ball game taking place. You know, what they call a beef hamburger, you'd be lucky if you find 10% beef in it, other than for what, you know, USDA says. You know, they're making a burger. It's not there. You know, and many, many other kinds of food, cereal, some of the things that we're feeding our kids, you know, it's not what they say it is. You know, you're not really, you know, Rice Krispies ain't good for you, you know, because it probably has nothing to do with rice. You know, most of that stuff is sad business. It has nothing to do with real food.
For those that are just joining in, you've been listening to Selena Lindsay. She's come on as a guest all the time. And Paulette Young, I'm the host. And we've been talking about the link between autism and a pregnant mom having diabetes or developing hypertension, and how that may be one of the answers to the problem. If you want to join in at any time, just dial 858-769-4936 and press 1, and then you'll be on the air globally. And so we've been talking for over 30 minutes now on this subject, because a lot of pregnant moms, not a lot. Some do get pregnant and they end up with diabetes, or they already have diabetes, or they end up with hypertension. And is that okay? The answer is no. Those have to be controlled if it's at all possible. The mother must follow whatever instructions the physician gives her, and hopefully she'll see a specialist that can handle that type of thing. And so we've been talking about it. So, again, you can dial in 858-769-4936, press 1, and you'll be heard all over the globe. All right. Selena has some other information she gives us towards the end of the show of these talented nonprofits, that you may know someone and pass out the information that can benefit these programs. Okay, go ahead, Selena, and tell us about some of the other nonprofits that you're a part of.
All right. Well, first we're going to talk about Your Life, Your Voice.org. You can go there and see what that organization is all about. But basically what they try to do is they try to encourage and work with behavioral problems through partnership-type programs. It's working. Another organization that I'd like you to know about is called One.org. And what they want to do is to stop the spread of HIV through discipline. And they are doing the research and education that they are now able to even do that before a child is born. And again, the name of that organization is One.org. So One.org. The next organization we'd like to talk about is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp which is designed for military children with priority given to a wounded, disabled, or fallen military family. You can reach Camp Corral by going to www.campcorral.org or please call 855-605-1267. Again, this is called Camp Corral, and they can be reached by dialing area code 855-605-1267. The next organization that we'd like to talk about is, let's see here, is called VeteranCareSolutions.org. Veteran Care Solutions is primarily designed for veterans, and what they do there is to try to teach them how to be independent, how to be able to find a place to live, where to find resources for mental problems or various different issues that they might have. Veteran Care Solutions, you can reach it by going to info, nbbtes.com, or you can please call LaShonda Jones at area code 909-329-8288. The next organization always brings a smile to me because, you know, it's something that we all say, and this little jingle just kind of gets to me. It's called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. And this organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. And Saturday of every month, they give away a little food for those that are indigent. And sometimes they actually do like a little barbecue. They'll cook some hot dogs, they'll cook a hamburger, and they help those that are in need of some type of help and even counseling and ministry. The next organization, I am a director on that board, is called Sowing Seeds for Life, all one word. And you can look at what we do by going to sowingseedsforlife.org on the internet. We're located at 1350 Arrow Highway. What we do there, we're the second largest food bank in Southern California. We try to serve those that are unable to feed themselves and they have food shortages. And not only do we do food, we do everything from we give away car seats, shoes, clothes when we have it. We try to assist in many, many different things. Paulette does a health program there. We do what we can do to help those that can't hurt themselves. Again, it's called Sowing Seeds for Life. And should you want to volunteer, come out and help us out, or you'd like to give us a donation, please call Fran Robinson at area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. The next organization is called Coley's Outreach. Coley's Outreach is located in Highland, California, and this guy does some unique hands-on program. He takes kids out fishing. He loves to fish himself. He primarily works with parolees, and more or less to say, in teaching them how to pull up their own shoestrings, their own bootstraps, and re-eliterate them back into society. If you'd like to donate or talk to Mr. Keith Coley about his program, please call him at area code 909-358-7393. At the end of every radio show, I always have my own two cents to throw into the box. And it kind of goes like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work hard to be. I take risks and I use myself. I tell life stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and my mistakes. I use me as a guinea pig. Basically, I have a belief, and that belief is to help those that can't help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. I thank you for listening to our program, and I anticipate that you'll be with us again next week for our next talk show. Have a good evening, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. We'll be on the air again, as usual, every Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. All right, bye.